You are not allowed to say, I am tempted of God. You are not allowed to say it. Now, it is a negative command, and you cannot say, God did this. God made me this way. This is God's fault. Because when you are doing that, you are impugning the character of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Welcome to Dare to Stand, a radio ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, featuring the teaching of Senior Pastor Dr. Kevin Shaw. Dare to Stand is on the radio to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will listen, to carefully teach the truth of God's Word, and to encourage a healthy lifestyle of worshiping and honoring God. For more details about Dare to Stand or the ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church, please visit www.daretostand.org or call the church at 623-581-3115. You can receive a free MP3 copy of today's message or the entire series in MP3 format for a small fee by contacting the church. Well, today we continue a teaching series with Dr. Kevin Shaw in the book of James with part two of a message called Don't Blame God. We'll pick things up with our teacher as he continues to explain that there is something God cannot do. He cannot be involved in any kind of sin. Let's listen. Here's Dr. Kevin Shaw.
Now, the language here is very clear. God cannot be touched by sin, and not only can he not be touched by sin, God does not try to make people sin. Sin cannot be traced to God. Now, you say, that brings up a lot of questions. After all, isn't everything in the world eventually somehow traced back to God? But we understand that God is the creator. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden with an opportunity to do right and an opportunity to do wrong. You say, so well, logically then, it has to go back to God. But here's the issue. Our logic is not our authority. The Word of God is. And the Word of God says, God is not tempted with evil, and God does not tempt any man or woman or child to sin. God's agenda is not to get you to sin. We say, well, God knows that I'm going to sin. Well, what God knows and what God forces are two different things. And we have to take the Word of God at what it says. And so the issue then here is man's inner inclination to sin comes from somewhere else other than God. Take a look here. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own what? Of his own inner inclination, of his own lust, and enticed. So what must I say when I'm facing temptation to sin? I have to say, it's me. Now, I hope you understand that in getting victory over sins, especially habitual, life-dominating type of sins, this is a huge step. You take someone who has a life-dominating type of sin. You take an alcoholic. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to work with alcoholics. I haven't spent a lot of time in my ministry working with people who are alcoholics, but you know, I have spent a lot of time dealing with people who grew up as children of alcoholics. And there seems to be a common characteristic in a home where a parent was an alcoholic. And that is, whoever it was tends to pick out a family member, and that family member becomes the reason for their problems. Sometimes it's a wife. Sometimes it's more than one family member, but oftentimes it's one of the children. And that person is the reason. That person is the problem. And I would not be like this if you would just. And I would not be like this if you would just. Over and over, I wouldn't have done this thing if you would just act in this particular way. And it becomes somebody else's fault. But folks, this is human nature. After all, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and God confronted Adam about his sin, Adam said, "The woman that you gave me." So he points to the woman. By the way, did you see something there? The woman that you gave me. Ultimately, what Adam is doing is blaming God for his sin. And of course, the woman, she says, "Who, me? What? It's the serpent! It's the serpent!" If you can learn to say, "Listen, it's me. It's not my circumstances. You know, I'm in a financial difficulty, and I couldn't really make the bills, and so I stole that money." It's not your circumstances, it's you. It's not my environment. It's not the fact that society is to blame for the sins of individuals in society. It's not the environment. It's not society. It's not others that have sinned against you. We deal with this all the time. Well, I grew up in a home where I was abused. And so, because I grew up in a home where I'm abused, this is the way I treat people. No, you cannot use that as an excuse for the way that you treat people. You can stop that chain of abuse, and you can stop it. There is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within you, and you have to take responsibility for the sin that is in your own heart. It's you. It's me. We show this in all kinds of ways. It's no one else's fault. You know, you go to apologize to someone. You know, there's oftentimes when there's conflict between two people that there is more than one person at fault, okay, in the conflict. One person yells, and another person yells. And one person gets angry, another person gets angry. One person acts sinfully, and another person acts sinfully. And so God begins convicting one. You know, let's say it's a husband and a wife. And so God begins convicting this husband about the way in which he responded to his wife. And, you know, he's starting to deal with it in his own heart. And he goes to his wife and he says, "Honey, you know, God's been convicting me about the way in which I have responded to you in the sinful way in which I responded to you. And, you know, you had sinned against me. And if you hadn't have sinned against me, I hadn't have done that. But now that you sinned against me, I sinned against you, and I shouldn't have sinned against you. And so, stop it. Stop it." By the way, it is possible that somebody sinned against you. And there are times when you need to confront someone that sins against you. But as a rule of thumb, you better do that in two separate conversations. Quit trying to pull the speck out of somebody's eye when you've got a mote in your own. And so what do? You forget about what they did. You forget about their responsibilities because their issues are between them and God. And you go and you own your own. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of what? His own lust, plus the circumstance all around him, everybody else that sinned against him, and enticed. No, it doesn't say that. It's his own lust and enticed. You, because of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within you, because of the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ, and because of all of those things that God has done for you, you do not have to sin. That's one of the great blessings of the Christian life. Do Christians sin? Yes. Do Christians have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous? Yes, they do. But there is no sin that I am required somehow to commit as a believer. When Jesus Christ came to dwell within me and the Holy Spirit came to dwell within me, I now have at my resources the ability to not commit those sins. And that's important. It's no one else's fault. The only way to get victory over sin is to be accountable for it. So what do I need to say? I need to say, it's me. I need to understand the direct source that there's my evil desires. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Dr. Shaw will be back with more on how we all have our own areas of weakness and desire when it comes to sin. And we should be aware of these things that tempt us and make a plan to flee from those temptations. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dare to Stand with Dr. Kevin Shaw and more of a message called Don't Blame God as we continue a study in the book of James. Dare to Stand is a radio outreach of Northwest Valley Baptist Church, and you can link to the church at daretostand.org. Now, here's Dr. Shaw to talk about an addiction recovery ministry going on at his church, Northwest. It's called Freedom That Lasts.
Hello, this is Kevin Shaw. Are you or someone you know dealing with the agony of an addiction? You cannot change what you do until you let God change who you are. Freedom That Lasts is a discipleship ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church that applies the life-transforming principles of the gospel and Christian growth to the problems of life-dominating sins and addictions. All of this happens in an atmosphere of love and accountability. If you would like to know more information about this important ministry, give us a call at 623-581-3115 or visit our website at daretostand.org. Go to the homepage and click the Discipleship Connections button.
Thank you, Dr. Shaw. And if you or someone you love could benefit from an addiction recovery ministry, please contact Northwest Valley Baptist Church today for details about the Freedom That Lasts discipleship ministry. And now, let's get back to our study and hear more on how sin works in each one of us a little differently. But we all have the same sin problem. Here's our teacher.
We have certain desires, within us, certain, for lack of a better term, appetites. There we have an appetite to eat. We have an appetite to drink. God has placed within human beings a desire to procreate. God has placed within human beings a desire to have fellowship. There are all kinds of various desires that God has given to human beings, and He has also given to us the right will to satisfy and fulfill those desires. And there are righteous ways and good ways to satisfy and fulfill those desires, but then we also inherited from Adam a sin nature, and we are constantly impatient, not trusting God, not waiting on God, not trusting God's wisdom, and always seemingly trying to fulfill the natural God-given desires that God has given us in unbiblical, sinful ways. And so we have these desires that are tainted by the fall. Now, it says, very, very interesting, it says here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away. The idea of that word there is lured away. It's almost a fishing term. It's the worm on the hook. Do you like to fish? I love to fish. I love to fish for trout. In fact, one of my favorite things to do is fish for trout. With one of those newfangled inventions, actually it's been around for 20 years probably now, but it's fairly new in the world of fishing. It's called power bait. Now, if you've never fished with power bait, you don't really know what fishing for trout is all about. I understand you know, the fly fishermen here and the spinner fishermen and the people who are, I mean, you are the cream of the crop. But one of the things I just love to do is to find a nice, clear stream where I can see the fish. And you put that power bait on a little tiny treble hook, little tiny hook, little tiny thin line. And you throw that in the water, and you watch the fish come up to it. And they'll look, and they'll turn and swim away. They'll come back and look, then turn and swim away. They know there's something wrong with it, but it just smells so good. And this little fish is, I mean, they're just struggling. Inevitably, it's really no fun unless you can watch it happen. Inevitably, this fish looks and swims and looks and swims until another fish starts swimming by. And then it's like he looks at the other fish and he grabs it before that other fish can get it. And you got him! That's what happens to us. We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. By the way, the enticement, the drawn word is the idea of that lure. The enticed word is a stronger word that is used in Scripture of a harlot. And so you have them being drawn away, and then there is a stronger draw and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, the sinful activity has occurred. What happens? Well, we see the result. Sin, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, in the end, brings forth death. And the analogy here is the used of the birth cycle. Conception. Little tiny baby of sin. And eventually, when the sin is brought forth, it brings forth death. Now, what type of death are we talking about? There are three types of death the Bible talks about. There's spiritual death. That's the idea of separation from God. It happened to Adam and Eve at the moment they committed sin. They were separated from God. God told them, "In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die." There was an immediate spiritual death that happened to Adam and Eve. And really, that is the most... We tend to think of physical death as the primary meaning of the word, but it seems, at least supernaturally, spiritual death is the basic idea. Separation from God. We have physical death. Well, what is physical death? Well, that's when our soul is separate from our body. We think of physical death at the end. Physical death is not an end. It's just a separation. Everybody's soul, their spirit, lives somewhere forever. It's just that soul, that spirit, no longer lives within that body. The Bible tells us that we as believers, if we're absent from the body, we're at home with the Lord. It tells us in Luke chapter 16, that rich man who was a sinner did not have faith in Jesus Christ. When he died in hell immediately, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment in the flames. There is spiritual death, there's physical death, and of course there's eternal death. Now, physical death is the condition of being separate from God. Everyone who is unsaved is under spiritual death right now. Physical death is when the body dies, but eternal death is the destiny of every lost person. What is it talking about in this particular passage of Scripture? Well, there's a sense in which every one of these is the result of sin. There's a sense in which every one of these, but I do think primarily the issue in the context is, when I sin, it separates me from God. Now, you say, well, I want to ask this question, Pastor. Is a person lost because they have a sin nature, or are they lost because they sin? Let me just remind you that you can't separate the two. That people who have sin natures will always sin. And so the answer to the question really is yes. Yes to both. And so, yes, we're lost because we sin. We're lost because we have a sin nature. There is a separation from God. But did you know that sin also has consequences for a believer? Now, for a believer, we are not separated from him for eternity. We don't come under eternal death. And we still have this presence of God within us, but there is a separation that occurs between us and God because of our sin. I was trying one time to figure out exactly how to phrase this, how to talk about it. My brother and I were having a conversation about it. And he wrote a whole paper on this. He talked about it as the distinction between judicial consequences of sin and paternal consequences of sin. As an unbeliever, I am under the judicial consequences of sin. I am judicially separated from God. When I sin as a believer, I am under paternal, fatherly consequences of sin. Now, what does it mean? I'm separated from his good graces. I am now under chastisement rather than under blessing. I am now under consequences. Does he love me? Yes, he loves me. But the relationship has been damaged. And it needs to be restored. There have been some that have taught over the years that when a believer or when an unsaved person gets saved, they confess their sin, they ask for salvation, they never have to confess again. That verse, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is for the unbeliever and it's not for the believer. I don't believe in the context that's ever the case. I think also, if you take a look at what Jesus was teaching the disciples when he washed their feet, he was teaching them exactly this issue.
Stay tuned. Pastor Shaul will be back to share a little more about how confession is good for the soul, both the saved soul and the unsaved soul. You're listening to Dare to Stand, a radio ministry outreach of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, where our teacher, Dr. Kevin Shaul, serves as senior pastor. Northwest Valley Baptist Church is located at 4030 West Yorkshire Drive in Glendale. That's just south of the 101 at 40th Avenue. Come visit our new worship center. Sunday worship service is at 9:30 a.m. Adult Bible studies and Sunday school for all ages are at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. Child care is provided for all services. Wednesday evening activities include prayer meetings, children's and teens programs. Northwest Valley Baptist Church also offers a quality traditional Christian education for your children, grades K through 12, at Arrowhead Christian Academy, located right on the church property at 40th Avenue and Yorkshire Drive. For more details about the church, kids programs, this radio broadcast, or to register your kids for Arrowhead Christian Academy, please visit www.daretostand.org. Or call 623-581-3115. If you enjoy listening to this radio program, please consider supporting Dare to Stand with a tax-deductible donation of any amount. You can visit daretostand.org and follow the link to the church website. You can download free copies of Pastor Shaul's sermons as well. Call us at Northwest and let us minister to you personally in any way we can. Call 623-581-3115. Don't forget you can listen to Dare to Stand Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on this same radio station. And you're always welcome to visit Northwest Valley Baptist Church in person for our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday evening discipleship and teaching at 6 p.m. Next time on Dare to Stand, we'll continue our study in the book of James with a message called The Keys to Victory. I do hope you can join us. Now, here's Dr. Shaul with some closing thoughts about the benefits of the practice of confessing our sins, as Jesus demonstrates to us through a foot washing session with his disciples. I'm Celeste Montague. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you next time for more right here on Dare to Stand.
Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, and he comes to Peter. And Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, I don't have fellowship with you. And Peter says, well, then wash me all over. He said, no, just your feet. Don't err, my beloved brethren. I have to be willing, when I sin, to own it and to go seek forgiveness from the one who will, according to his promise, cleanse me. And he will.